In Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, God's beautiful word says, "For what will a man," watch this, "for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" And watch verse 37. "Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" That passage of scripture, when you read that, warrants many different thoughts, doesn't it? And it creates many different questions, and it makes us look back and maybe do a self-inventory or self-check to make sure that we ourselves individually are not cashing out our souls. I'm afraid that there's a great number of people in our world today that's doing things in exchange for their soul. Friends, if having loads of money and having all of this popularity causes me to lose my soul, I hope I die flat broke. Amen? I'm not willing to exchange my soul for anything in the world. I want no part of that. If owning property all over the city, all over the community, all over the world were to cause me to lose my soul and my relationship with God, I don't want to own anything but a tent. Does that make any sense to you? If driving the nicest vehicle ever made and having the biggest bank account in all of the world causes me to lose my soul and my relationship with God, I want to be flat broke. Does that make any sense to anybody? Because none of us should be willing or even think about exchanging our soul for the things of the world. I'm a firm believer, brothers and sisters, and I know if you are a student of God's Word, you are too, that in Christ Jesus, we indeed go from rags to riches. Do you agree with that? I know I've heard many people talk about the devil, and we need to talk about the devil a little bit more. And we always, your preacher kind of has a tendency to kind of touch 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And it seems like we talk about that a little bit, and then we just move on. We don't really talk about how the devil himself is really out there. What does the Bible mean when the scripture says he's alive and well, and he is what? Seeking whom he may devour. Well, what's involved in that? What is that about? I'm convinced today that the devil himself wants to keep us in the valleys and the ditches. Amen? And Jesus wants to take us from those rags to the riches. So I'm going to make sure that I'm going to make sure absolutely certain that my life is right in the sight of Almighty God. Well, how am I going to do that? I need to make sure that I'm not going by what man says is right and wrong, but says by what the Bible says is right. Amen? The Lord tells us the way unto salvation. God shares with all of us, you and me. God shares with us what we are to do to be acceptable in His sight. I would rather, brothers and sisters, have spiritual riches than worldly riches any day of the week. So please, please listen to me. Never, ever forget that worldly riches will have no bearing on the home that you're going to have in heaven. Does that make any sense? You can have the biggest house in all of the world, or you can have the smallest house in all the world. It doesn't change the mansion that's being prepared for you and for me, for those that are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. In the book of John chapter 14, down in verse 2, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And Jesus says, "I'm going there to get it prepared for you." Is that what he said? And he said, "If I wasn't, I'd tell you." And I'm kind of paraphrasing that. But Jesus is there and he's preparing a place for his faithful people. It's a prepared place for prepared people. Having your Bibles with you, I trust you do, I want you to head over to the book of Isaiah. Let me show you something in here. In the book of Isaiah chapter 59, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2 here in just a moment. But I am convinced that the greatest rags to riches story occurs when a sinner turns from no hope to a living hope. Do you agree with that? When we go from no hope to a living hope, the Lord has just delivered us from rags unto the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot," what? "Nor is ear heavy that it cannot." But what is it that is separating? Watch this. "But your iniquities," your sins, your corruption, your corrupt thoughts, your corrupt heart, "your iniquities have separated from your God, and your sins," brothers and sisters, "have hidden his face from you." And when you do that, the Bible says, so he will not, what? He will not hear. So when we think about that passage of scripture, the greatest story that we could ever tell our loved ones, the greatest story that we can ever leave when we move on from this earth, is that we were able to go, that Christ Jesus, in Christ, we was carried from rags to riches. Again, it doesn't matter if you're wearing the nicest clothes in all the world. If you've exchanged your soul for them, you're filthy. Amen? You are dirty. We've got to be certain that we are walking in the newness of Jesus Christ each and every day. When a fellow obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, when someone comes to know Jesus Christ, calling upon His name, doing what He is calling us to do, we become a new creature. Do y'all believe that? All right, so let's go over and see what's going on in the book of John. I want to show you something here in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. When a fellow obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, being born of the water and, the Bible says, the Spirit, we become very, very rich toward God. Look at what the scripture says about this. We're just going to refer to a fellow named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews, and we're going to see that he came to Jesus. When did he come to him? Do you remember? By night, didn't he? So we're going to take a look and see what's going on here in John chapter 3, 1 through 7. God's beautiful word says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. What was he? Very good. This man came to Jesus when? There you go. And he said to him, Rabbi. Now, so when he referred to him as Rabbi, he knew that Jesus was indeed a teacher, didn't he? He knew that there was something about this Jesus, Teresa. We know that you are a teacher come from God, and here's the reason we say that. Watch this. For no one can do these things that you do unless God's with him. Listen to the response of Jesus. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is nothing but what? Look at 6. That which is born of the flesh is? But that which, watch, and that which is born of the Spirit is? Uh-huh. So go with me to verse 7. Say it with me. Let's go. Do not marvel that I said to you, ye must be born again. Teresa, when we're born again, Heather, when we're born again, we go from rags to riches. Very good. So I want us, if you don't mind, over the next few minutes to take a look at about 3, maybe 4 very short points, things that we can consider on how being in Christ will take us from rags to riches and how that benefits us. So the first point that we're going to examine today as we talk about from rags to riches in Christ, I believe and I'm convinced according to the scripture that we go from rags to riches as Christ gives His children all spiritual blessings. So we are going from rags to riches when Christ gives us our spiritual blessings. Does that make any sense to more than just Teresa? Do we? All right, I'll break it back down since it don't. So right now, if you're not a Christian and you're not receiving the spiritual blessings, you're as filthy rags. Is that what the Bible says? But when Christ gives us these spiritual blessings, we go from rags to riches. Does that make sense, or do I need to talk about it some more? Okay. All right, I just want to make sure we're there because I don't like leaving anybody behind. Rob tries to leave me behind in class. I say, not yet. Mm-mm. Fix this for me. So I don't like getting left behind. So if I'm leaving you behind, stop me, and then we'll work on it together. Is that fair? Fair to everybody? All right. How many of us as Christians today, seriously speaking, truly appreciate the avenue of prayer? Confirm it with an amen. All right. So is it easy? Could it be easy, Bobby, to take that for granted? Absolutely. But you know what? We know, according to the Bible, Jerry, that God doesn't hear everybody's prayers. Now, some would argue with that and say, well, what in the world do you mean, preacher, He don't hear your prayers? John chapter 9, verse 31, the Bible tells us, now we know that God does not hear who? Sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of Him and doing His will, thank you, He hears them. So I'm telling you today, according to what the Bible says, that if we just continue in sin and we continue to neglect our responsibilities as we neglect our salvation and we're not responding and not doing the will of God in our lives, don't expect God to hear your prayer. The Bible said that. Do you agree? All right, so I'm going to show you some other goodies in here that's going to prove what I'm talking about. Not that the Bible needs proof, but I need proof to show you what I'm saying is true. So can you imagine today trying to live in this sin-filled, sick world without the avenue of prayer? I can't imagine that. Chris, that would be too difficult, wouldn't it? Because when we have loved ones that are sick, we got friends that need prayers, We've got things in our own lives that we need to be praying about. I cannot imagine, Brother Larry, not having a God to go to. I can't imagine not having a God, a Father, Christ Jesus, that is listening to my petitions and listening to my prayer of supplication and listening to my prayer of thanksgiving. The avenue of prayer, brothers and sisters, please don't take it lightly. It is a great blessing that you and I, as children of God, we have. Does that make any sense? In the book of Psalm, chapter 61, down in verse 1, God's word says, "Hear my what? O God, attend to my prayer." That word attend means I need you. And do we all need God? Absolutely. So we call upon God today. God, attend our prayer. God, we have supplication. God, we want to offer thanksgiving. God, we just want to worship you. We want to praise you. And we want to thank you in our prayers. But we also have needs, don't we? And we're asking God to help us with that. Over in the book of Psalm chapter 4, down in verse 1, God's word says, "Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. You have relieved me," the psalmist says, "in right smack dab in the middle of my what? And right in the middle of my distress. Have mercy on me." And look what he says again. "And hear my prayer." Not long ago, I went to at the funeral home, we had to go to a Catholic service, and it was absolutely beautiful. The priest was up there, and he would do that, and he would say those words, "And hear my prayer," and then the congregants would repeat that again. It ran chills down your arms. And shouldn't we be praising God? Shouldn't we be talking and asking God to hear my prayer? Amen. So we need to be more like, actually, we need to be more like the psalmist, don't we? We need to remember, you and me and Ethan, we've got to remember how great this benefit and how great the privilege it is, Teresa, of you and me and Margaret being able to go to the Lord in prayer anytime we want. Isn't that a blessing? Esther, do you like that? That anytime we want, you, Courtney, Chris, and I can go to the Lord in prayer anytime we want, Larry, and petition God and thank God because he is so awesome. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, down in verse 3, remember this, that King David knew one of the great tools that he had was in his arsenal, if I may. You know, because David had an arsenal of things, didn't he, in his relationship with God. And one of his great tools that he used was his avenue of prayer. I like to think about that as well when I think about what Paul was talking about to the church at Ephesus. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, down in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in" who? Thank you, Darlene. "In Christ." So we only go from rags to riches in. We only go from rags to riches in Christ. Very good. So we're not going to get there without Jesus. Amen. So we have to have Christ Jesus to hold our hands and for us to hold his nail-scarred hands. Only in Christ Jesus can you go from rags to riches. If you don't and you stay with the devil, you'll be in valleys and ditches, won't you? You agree with that? Okay. So let's go get a little bit more. John 9:31. "Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of him, of God, and does his will," the Bible says, "he hears them." So listen, once again, we go from rags to riches as Christ Jesus hears our petitions made unto him. Not only are we blessed with the fact that God hears your prayers and he hears my prayers and ours as a group, God provides us with something else. God provides us with his word, doesn't he? He gives us his own oracles. He gives us what's on his heart, doesn't he? Because the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable, isn't it? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, you and I together, may be thoroughly or thoroughly equipped for every good work. Isn't that awesome? That God blesses us now. We have the avenue of prayer. And now we've got the very oracles of God laid right out in front of us. That is a great, huge blessing. And I'm thankful today for God's word. You ought to say that. I'm thankful today for God's word. I am thankful that he breathed his word into all those writers of the Bible. Let's go over to the book of Romans. You may already be there. In the book of Romans, we're going to look at Romans chapter 5, and then let's look at verses 8 and 9 together. We have God's word that guides us in our way, don't we? Everybody agree with that? We also have the blood of Jesus that was given so that we can continue in our journey and in our walk toward God. Isn't it nice today that you and I are forgiven for our sins, for those of us that have washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Isn't it nice that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Isn't that awesome? So when we think about the passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 5, look with me at verse 8 and 9. But God demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, much more than having now been, here we go, Brother Larry, what's that next word? Justified. You know what that word, Brother Larry talked about it in his studies as well. Justified means justified, never sinned, isn't it? Because there's not going to be eternal consequences for that as long as we're found faithful. Justified by his what? And we shall be saved from wrath through him. Whose wrath? Very good. Does anyone in here want God's wrath upon them? If so, please respond during the invitation. We need to talk to you very quickly. We don't want God's wrath upon us. I assure you of that. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, down in verse 7, the Bible says, in him we have redemption. We have forgiveness, don't we? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Be certain to remember 1 John chapter 1, down in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, does what? Heather, cleanses us from all. How much of our sin? All. I don't think y'all are serious. How much? All of our sin. So the reason we're putting emphasis on that, quit letting those little things that may be holding you back. Well, I did this in the past. Don't you dare limit my Jesus. Amen. Don't talk about, well, but you don't understand, Jerry, what happened in the past. I don't care what happened. God doesn't care what happened. Jesus doesn't care what happened in the past. He cares about you right now. He loves you. He wants us to make sure that our life is right and conducive with what the Scripture says. That's all he's asking. Amen? So if your life is all complicated and messed up in your walk with Christ, it's not him, it's you. If it's not him, it's me. So we've got to stop adding to. We've got to try to stop taking away. Sometimes we try to modify it. We don't mainly be aware of our manner of life. Well, let's make sure that we just rightly apply, rightly divide the word of truth. Just like Paul told Timothy about. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, but rightly. I'm glad all three of y'all knew. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Folks, we are blessed, and we go from rags to riches in that. There are many other spiritual blessings that we have. We have the avenue of prayer. Are you in agreement? We have his word. Are you in agreement? We have the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you in agreement? And we are also sanctified. Thank you, Lord, for that. Sanctified means to set us apart. He's setting us apart from those that's not going to heaven. Do you realize that? There's going to be some on the right and some on the... There's going to be some sheep. There's going to be some goats, isn't it? So when we think about that, let's make sure that we're with the sheep. Let's make sure that we're on the right-hand side. Let's make sure that we are faithful followers of Jesus Christ, because it is God who adds us to the church, those that are set apart from the worldly, set apart from Satan and his attacks, set apart. And even though we may face these trials and difficulties and setbacks, we know that it is a setup to walk in the newness of Christ, isn't it? So, and I love what the Lord does. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, having favor with all of the people, the Lord added to the church. Whose church? Daily, those that are being what? Very good. Those that are being saved. And that, I mean, there's a plethora of things. There are so many things that we could discuss when we talk about the spiritual liberty that we find in Jesus. But remember again, John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's what? Are many. All right, and what's Jesus doing there? Right now, preparing a place. If he wasn't, would he tell us so? All right, and then drop down to verse 6. What does he say? I am the... I love you guys. Y'all are on that. Nobody can get to heaven unless you go through Jesus. Amen? So when you think about that, I'm telling you, that takes us from rags to riches, but you can only get there in Christ. You can only get there in... I'll let that one slide. So listen, as a Christian, we go from rags to riches. We go from this cruel, sin-filled world to a place where there'll be how much sadness? No, there'll be a lot of sadness in heaven, right? No sadness in heaven. How much sickness is going to be there? How many tears are going to be shed? How many cemeteries are going to be out there? I'm out of a job. So how many cemeteries? There'll be absolutely none. Teresa's over there bragging. How many hospitals? You're fired too. And so There'll be none of that. You're about to get fired. Watch this. Ashley's on her way out right here. Nothing but God in his place. There'll be no nursing home or assisted living. Ah, you're fired as well. So that was good. So none of these things are necessary. And if you're a corrections officer, guess what? You're fired as well. There'll be no jails in heaven. Amen? Nothing but happiness. Nothing but love. Nothing but worshiping Almighty God. Nothing but going from rags to in. Very good. All right, the second point I want to examine is this. We go from, in Christ Jesus, from rags to riches. Remember this. We go from darkness into the light. Amen? We're going from darkness into the light. This world is in sin, and because of that, this world is in darkness. But our God, the God that created us, is such an awesome God that he, through his Son, Brother Larry, carried us from darkness into the light of his Son. Amen? You remember a while ago, Brother Jerry, if we walk in the light as he is in the light? So, Bobby, I'm thankful that Jesus is that light, aren't you? I'm thankful that we have an opportunity to wash in the very blood of the Lamb. And when we're washed in the blood of the Lamb for the forgiveness of our sins, our name is written. I'm about to give you away my next point. But our name is written where? In Bellmead Country Club's register book. You remember that? It's a red book. Heather, don't start. Huh? And what book of life? There you go. In the Lamb's, very good, in the Lamb's book of life. And I'm just about gave you the other point. So in Colossians chapter 1, down in verse 13, the Bible says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So how do we do that? How do we get to that point? I think we have to go to the book of Romans. Larry, are you familiar with Romans? Hey, right, that's good. So when I was finishing it up last night, I thought about it. I said, well, this is definitely Brother Larry. Larry will get you on Romans 12, and he'll get you on Galatians 5. So don't even bring that passage up. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The scripture says, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a go. And how should it be? Give me the next word. Holy, acceptable to God. Finish it. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable. And the Bible says, very good. So do you agree today that we should thank God for delivering us from the darkness into his light? And how are we delivered today? Are we delivered to him by studying his word? Are we delivered by hearing his word? Are we delivered by the Lord into out of darkness into the light by growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And how are we delivered today, Esther? By feeding upon the milk of the word? How do we grow today, Jerry Jr.? By assembling with the saints at every opportunity? Is that what the Bible's telling us? How do we do that, Ethan, in Acts chapter 20 down in verse 7? Partaking the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Larry, does that sound about right? So we go from darkness to light when we hold the commandments of the Lord, right? And there are a lot of commandments, but it's not complicated, I promise. We make it more complicated because we start allowing traditional things to come into our mind. This is what you said a while ago. You know, this is what mama did, daddy did. Well, you know what? If my mom and dad weren't Christians, then I don't want to follow them. Amen? If Aunt Myrtle Dean wasn't a Christian, oh, but she baked a good pie. I told you this before. I've never really understood how pie gets you into heaven. Maybe I haven't seen it under Levitical law yet. But people talk about, seriously, I've heard people say, Aunt Myrtle Dean, she sure was nice. She was the sweetest little old thing you'd ever see. She could so good, made the best apple pie in the world. If she didn't make it to heaven, nobody will. I haven't read that yet. I'm still trying to find it. I thought I had it over in the book of Jerry Thomas, but I didn't see it when I went all the way through it. The only Aunt Myrtle Dean I knew was a big old Myrtle Dean. She wasn't pretty. She couldn't cook, and I don't think she made it. And so let's just remember the William Chris back there saying this guy needs to be fired. So the only way we're going to get from, well, he took him from a preaching gig. Did you see that? Come up here a while ago, did a good job, spoke very clear, and Larry sends a message up, Jerry Ladd's fired. Well, thanks a lot, Larry. But anyway, we're doing a good job, Chris, by the way. Very good job. Amen? All right. Two of the people didn't say amen, though, so I'll tell you who they were in just a second. All right, so listen, God carries us from darkness to light, does he not? All right, third point I want to talk about. Third point. God carries His children from being dead in sin to alive in Christ. That's what I love. We are all, every single one of us, I don't care who you are, care who I am, at one time we were headed for hell, weren't we? But Jesus, by His blood, by His continued commitment to the Father, by His willingness to go to that cruel cross at Calvary, took our sins, our guilt, our punishment, the penalty of sin, and carried it to the cross. Now we have an opportunity at salvation. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, down in verse 23, does anybody know what the Bible says? For all have and fallen of the glory of. So does that mean preachers do it too? Y'all are liars. Preachers do not sin, or part-time song leaders, right, Jerry? All right, so we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Well, if we sit there for a minute, we say, well, okay, well, that's everybody, so okay, big deal. Well, there is a big deal. Because if you go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, I think we better look at that passage. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Not just a physical death, but this is a spiritual death. Death that's going to have an eternal sting to it. A death that the fire is never going to be quenched. Eternal punishment forever and ever and ever. Amen? So, I believe and I'm convinced that it behooves you and me to take a look at what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Just take a look and let's see what we're talking about. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. All found? And you He made alive, watch this, who were dead in trespasses and sin. You know, Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus, but it's also very applicable to you and me, isn't it? This letter was inspired by who? Who inspired Paul? Say it like you mean it. Who inspired Paul? God did. So Paul's telling his church that. He's also telling you and me that He made us alive, those who were dead in trespasses, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The Spirit now works in the sons of disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Now watch verse 4. This ought to encourage us. Are y'all ready? Give me the first two words. Who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been what? And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceedingly riches of His grace in His kindness toward us. In who? Did you notice something there? I said, in Christ. So you notice, Esther, a while ago, in the title of our lesson, says, from rag to riches, in Christ. For by grace you've been saved. Well, that got brought up again, didn't it? Through what? And that not of yourselves. You did not do it yourself. Man cannot atone for their own sins. But it is a gift of who? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship. Well, that means we're His handiwork. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should do what? You ready to do a number 11? Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles, watch this, in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. You can continue to read this, but brothers and sisters, it's talking about walking in the newness of life, isn't it? It's talking about how He made us alive. He took us from being spiritually dead to spiritually awake. Does that make any sense? All right. So we need to remember and keep those things in mind. Back over to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Let's be sure that we see this. Romans chapter 6, 1 through 11. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Is that the question being asked? What's the next two words? How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in the, say it. Very good, congregation. Newness of life. That also means a repentant life, doesn't it? For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also should be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of. Should we go much further on that one? I think so. Let's go. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. Number 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies how much more? Watch this. Death no longer has dominion over him. Do you realize how blessed we are that our physical death is going to happen? But in Christ, death no longer has dominion over us, does it? Isn't that a beautiful blessing? All right. Number 10. For the death that he died, talking about Jesus, he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Number 11. Likewise, you also. That means who? All of us. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word Lord means, say it like you meant it, the word Lord means master. Now, is Jesus the Lord? Is he your master today? Absolutely. So if he's our master, that means we are his servants. Say that with me. We are his servants. So a servant ought to be faithful. Amen. Now, the only way that we're going to go from rags to riches is in Christ. Very good. You guys are doing great. Galatians chapter 2, down in verse 20 says it all. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And what happened? Gave himself for me. Fourth point, and the conclusion is going to be all in one. We go from rags to riches when God records our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that cool? So it warrants this question. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Many people respond with three words. I hope so. I believe we need to be more confident in what God's Word says. Seriously. God's Word tells us that He will write our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But can it be erased? Absolutely. Can it be removed? Can the lampstand be pulled away? Now, if you read the book of Revelation, it can. We know that. But we're also convinced that what the Lord says in Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the... The Bible didn't say I might give you, I'm considering giving you. It says, I will give you the crown of life or the crown of righteousness if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Again, I said a while ago, I was cutting up with Ashley and Esther about people's name being written in Belle Meade Country Club's book, you know, and for popularity or for fame or whatever you want to call that. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not the main book, is it? The register book, when you go into these funeral homes, you know, you're letting families know, I came by to see you, I hope you're okay. Nothing wrong with that at all. None of that gets you to heaven, does it? Only if our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, then how do we get to that point? I like Revelation 21:7, and I'm going to share that with you. Revelation 21:7, but there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You heard that from the Lord, didn't you? So if the Lord says it, it's got to be true. Amen? All right. So having your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do you do that? How do you have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? It's very simple. By doing what God calls us to do. First of all, you have to become a Christian. Nothing else is going to matter if you don't become a Christian. Period. You can agree or disagree. Don't matter to me. It's up to you. I do hope that we share heaven together. That does matter to me. I hope that you're able to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That does matter to me. Because I know that for every person that grows in their relationship with God, it's going to permeate to a family member, perhaps to a friend at work, perhaps to a husband or a wife. Are you getting the picture? Hopefully that it'll continue to grow. So we need to make sure that we're growing in our relationship with God. Make sure that we are conveying the message either by word or mouth, or by our actions, that we go from rags to riches in Christ Jesus. So today, if you want to become a Christian, let me tell you how to do that. You hear His Word, you believe, you repent of your sins, you make a confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses, you're baptized upon your confession of faith for the forgiveness of your sins, you live a faithful life. That means live your life according to what the Bible says, not what anybody else says, but what according to what the Bible says. Live a faithful life unto and into your death. And always remember that we are indeed, please don't forget, we've got a responsibility to others. Today is the day of restoration. I changed that up a little bit. I said, if today is the day of restoration. No, it's not if. Today is the day of restoration. So if your soul is longing to get back in a tighter relationship with God, today is the day of getting that corrected and doing what God's calling you to do. Restoration is available to you right now, but it may not be tomorrow. Amen. So let's make sure that our life is right with Jesus Christ. Is God, is Christ pleased with what he sees in your life at this very walk? Is he pleased with what you did this past week? Is he pleased with the way we respond? Is he pleased with what we did this morning? Is he pleased with what we did last night? Is he pleased with what we're going to do this afternoon? Are you getting the picture? Let's make sure that we're living our life for Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Go with me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorifying your Father which is in heaven. This morning, if you have a need, any need at all, let us pray with you for you and help you any way that we can. You can come right now.